And then someone went,
testing, 1, 2.
I can really taste the bacteria.
What's up, John? What's up, John Burton?
1, 2, 3, 4. Why you can't have a best?
Okay, wait. Let me rewind. John, you're right.
Right. I'm just going to play us in a little bit.
When are you going to tell me we're starting?
We started.
Okay. Awesome.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
I can.
Oh, does that help? Does that help?
I think it will.
All right, cool. Beautiful.
Does the volume seem good then? Right,
yeah.
Matt?
All right. We're great. Perfect.
We'll go this route.
So, yeah, dude, carpentry is... I sucked so bad at it, but it gave me such an appreciation for it. It's as fine a skill as classical piano playing.
Okay. I can attest that it's definitely a fine skill.
Right? It's
there's different levels.
Yeah.
There's different levels. You know, you have your rough carpentry, you know, framing and whatnot, but
right.
I've done a wide, vast array of them, and I think I've done pretty good at succeeding at most levels.
I sucked. I can't measure it. I can't cut. I'm not precise. It's carpentry is so much more precision, I think. Like the margin for error, there's that less margin for error in building a wall that's to plan than there is playing Bach.
Right. Okay. I'd agree.
That's hard stuff, man.
Yeah. I'm pretty well rounded as a carpenter. My father was a carpenter, grandfather, great grandfather, like way back.
Shit, okay.
Like my whole family was. Nobody was really willing to go to school. I had one uncle was a carpenter, and he ended up becoming a school teacher.
Right.
I don't know how that transpired. Like a great uncle, it was well before my time, but he was one of the few that he was a very skilled carpenter. In fact, he made these handmade puzzles, and he'd go out and he would get these prints of, you know, Washington crossing the Delaware, et cetera.
Right.
And he would hand cut them on a bandsaw, and he would cut the lines between like the mountains and the sky so you couldn't match pieces.
Right.
And he would by all freehand, windmills would be carved into it, dogs, animals, all sorts of crazy stuff. I still have a couple of the puzzles.
Oh, that's cool.
From when he did it as young. And in fact, doing more research on it years later, some of them ended up down in the Smithsonian. They're not on display, but they're in the back house. They were donated to them as like a more like craftsman style puzzles and whatnot. But
that's kind of cool.
And it's even funnier to look at. I have the Washington crossing the Delaware one, and that's probably would be worth quite a bit of money as a print today.
Yeah.
Not so much as a puzzle, probably.
Had to go and fuck it up and make a puzzle out of it.
Yeah, whatever.
And you're a musician.
I am.
You're playing like every band.
No, I'm only playing in one band.
Oh,
I keep it to one band.
Oh, wow.
I keep it to one band.
What's the band?
Follow Suit has been the band I've been with for the past 2.5 years. And,
okay.
The end of this December will be the end of my run playing with them.
Why?
So differences of opinions. Oh, okay. And that's all. Nothing bad, nothing horrible, but...
Keeping a band together is fucking hard, too.
You know what? It's a relationship. So you have this... Everybody talks about how hard it is to just be in a relationship with one person. You're in a band and there's 4 or 5 multiple people.
Yep.
Schedules, what you all... wants and desires, what you all want to do, so...
It's the hardest part about being in a band... I mean, I've only been in one band, and it was in high school. But I thinking about it, like for me, the hard part would be you got to find people who all want to succeed at the same level.
Correct.
Because you get people that want to push harder and people that don't. That's tough.
That is tough. You know, then you steer in the direction of what do you want to do musically. You know,
right.
What genre of music or genres and where do you want to go with it? You know, what kind of places do you want to play? What kind of money do you want to make? You know, what?
That's hard.
I play with a couple of musicians that they do this for income. So they play in other projects.
Right.
And then I do it with musicians that, like me, we'd like to make money at it. We don't want to do it for free or cheap, but we're also doing it more for our own enjoyment.
How many instruments do you play?
I am primarily a bass player.
Right.
I also play around with acoustic guitar a little bit as well. I do, more so when I do my songwriting.
Should have brought it in.
Yeah, I'm not quite that level of, get on the John Burton show and wing it. I haven't even picked it up in quite a while now.
You write?
I do. I did when I was younger, wrote a lot when I was younger, and I just started again probably this past year writing.
What style
I? So I grew up in the 80s playing hard rock and heavy metal, so we wrote all the original, you know, hard rock hair band type music.
Nice.
Which was great, but now I've taken a couple of the songs that we wrote back then and turned them into modern country. Then another song that I worked on recently is also modern country.
Oh, cool.
Like that's a newer original.
You come back, you got to bring the guitar.
I'll work on my guitar playing a little bit.
You sing, right?
Very little. I've been doing some singing lessons, but I never did much of the singing when I was younger, and I regret it because I started now in my 50s, and I'm starting to find I can sing. I'm not phenomenal, but I can sing, and I'm getting there, and I'm working on it. So,
want to be in a Lifted Project choir?
I would consider seeing if I could do something with it.
Okay, cool, beautiful.
I would try. I mean, but I don't know if I necessarily have the pipes for that.
I bet you
we'll
do.
See.
We'll
see.
It's a choir. You can hide.
Yeah, give me something low. Give me something real low end.
All right, fair enough. And when did you start playing bass?
I started playing bass at 16 years old.
Oh, okay, so you've been at it a hot minute.
You know,
why bass? I can never figure
out. This is a great story. This is my favorite. Because friends of mine growing up had a band going on. They started a band and they said, "We're starting a band. Do you want to be in it?"
Right.
And I said, "Sure." And they're like, "Well, you have to play bass because that's the only instrument we have left."
Fair enough.
And at 16 years old, I said to them, "What's a bass?"
Right.
And I didn't really understand. I knew guitar. I had a guitar.
Right.
I wasn't good. I didn't know much, but right. I had a guitar. And so I wanted to be in this band that failed miserably and didn't last very long. And I picked up a bass guitar, and that's where I've been ever since.
Oh, you were 16. No
exactly.
band.
Exactly. Exactly. No. But with anybody else that I play with does not play an instrument at all these days.
You play upright bass?
I do not. I wish I had learned.
You could.
Keyboards is on my list now.
Oh, okay.
I'd like to get a set of keyboards, and I'd like to start toying around with some keyboards.
Right, right. Because now you're retired? Well, you're not retired, but...
No, I'm not retired.
How many years till retirement?
I'm hoping to take one of my retirements next year.
Okay.
From being a union carpenter.
Right.
But I can't afford to live off that. But
right.
Due to my health situation, I can't swing a hammer anymore. So it's now a matter of, I'm hoping if I can plan it right. I'm 55 now. I'm hoping 60. And
oh.
I don't think I'm going to have a luxurious retirement, but I'm hoping 60. 60, I can call it quits and live a very, very.
Be comfortable, man.
Comfortable life, exactly. Yeah. Nothing too extravagant.
You don't want extravagant.
No, I'm downsizing. I've been trying to downsize my whole life now.
So before we got on a mic, I was telling you I did high-end residential construction for you,
yeah.
Like these 14,000 square foot houses. So the client, if they can afford to build a 14,000 square foot house, they're well off.
Sure.
Right? And I did 8 of them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I met a happy person as a client one time.
Yeah.
I think there's a level where you just get skewed. And I think probably mentally you can handle $3 million. I think you get much more than $3 million and a switch goes off and you lose so much perspective.
I think even lower. I think you can lose perspective even much lower than that myself.
Right.
That I've seen from my experience. But things change. It may not be a drastic loss,
right.
But things definitely as you...
Well, it happened to me because when I was working there, I bought a boat and... stupid stuff that I shouldn't have bought,
mm-hmm.
and because it just skews everything. You think you think you're on another level. You think the money's never going to end, and then I got sick and it ended. But
right.
But you know, too much money's not a good thing.
No, I agree.
I'm learning that there's so much. Like I'm probably happiest right now. The happiest period of my life is probably right now, and. You know, this show is just starting to make a little money.
Right.
So it's got nothing to do with it.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Yeah.
It's hopes. I mean, it's nice to get something out of it besides just your passion, but...
Yeah.
But, yeah. I'd agree. This year is the happiest I've been in I don't know how long.
Sweet. Yeah. What's making you happy?
My multitude of things. My health primarily. So I took a real bad turn a couple years ago with my back. I've had back problems working construction my whole life, but it got to the point where... I was going and seeing surgeons for options. Nobody could seem to pinpoint exactly what my problem is. I've got a pinched nerve or two. I've got three slightly bulging discs, but none of them are fully herniated, and nobody can seem to pinpoint exactly which disc is my major problem.
Want me to fix you?
Yeah.
Okay. This, you know Howard Stern?
I do.
Same fucking problem. He, back so bad he had to lay on the floor. And he kept going to surgeons, and surgeons couldn't figure out what it was. They're recommending this surgery. Then another surgeon would say, no, it's not that. It's, Stern has money, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he goes to see this doctor called John Sarno. And John Sarno had written this book called The Mind-Body Connection. And he said, and I'm going to tell you, because I saw Sarno too. And Stern goes to see Sarno. One visit with him, 98% fixed. So I hear that. And Sarno happens to be in the city, right? So my hands are so from guitar. I thought from too many years of guitar and mm-hmm. typing, which are the two things I do. My hands were ruined. Like I couldn't, I'm not exaggerating, couldn't hold a pen, couldn't, silverware was like really hard, just cramping all the time. And you could see them, they're throbbing, they're fucked. So I'm like, all right. So I go to see the surgeon. The surgeon's like, you have carpal tunnel syndrome, we're going to have to cut you, and you're not going to be able to use your hands for like 3 months. I'm like, we'll do one hand at a time so you have one, but you're not going to be able to.
Right.
I'm like, I got to make a living. I can't not have my hands. So I'm like, all right, well, Stern saw Sarno, so I'm going to go see Sarno. So I go down there, literally, not joking, couldn't hold a pen. He gave me a physical first, took about a half hour, and he goes, there's nothing wrong with your hands. Here's what's wrong with your hands. And he named the condition, and I don't remember the name of the condition offhand, but what happens is when you're under so much stress
yep.
and you're so angry for so long,
yeah.
it affects your breathing. And your breathing, when you don't breathe well for a long period of time, your muscles start to starve from oxygen, and they cramp and they pain and they move bones around and they fuck you. And so he said the pain's real. It's not psychosomatic
sure.
pain. It's
yep.
real pain, but it's not being it's not a medical cause. So he said, this is what you got to do. You got to understand that you're either pissed. He said probably mostly anger. Your anger is affecting your breathing. Your breathing's affecting your hands. And you don't even have to believe it. You just have to accept that it's potentially true. And then, you know, see what happens. I'm like, okay. By that evening, I could write. Next day, could play guitar. Never had a problem since.
So I'm living a little. I'm glad that you kind of mentioned this. 'Cause I'm living a little of that. So
oh, okay.
I started with the back pain. There were other things, unhappy marriage, things in life that come up.
But they're related.
They are. And I've learned. So I've done. I did chiropractic. I did this. I tried a bazillion things. I was doing pain management. So I had more needles put in my spine last year and the year before than you could shake a stick at. We did epidural steroid injections. So I did three of those. The first one worked great for about a month and a half. The next one, 2 weeks. The third one did nothing. Then we went to a second type of injection in the joint. And then we made our way up to radio frequency ablation, which consisted of six needles all at once, and they pump radio frequency waves through to such a high speed, it burns off your nerve endings, and then the signal don't go to your brain to tell you you're in pain. So,
holy
shit. Talk about more stress and more unpleasantries.
Yeah.
I ended up being out of work last year for 5 months, dipping into my savings and struggling. And last year was a rough year. But my ex and I decided to dissolve our marriage, and at that time acupuncture, I hadn't tried acupuncture, but I was doing a back program that I found from Mark Ortega's Health and Fitness. They do a healthy back program.
Okay.
I swear by that. That helped me immensely.
Wow.
Physical therapy wasn't helping me because I had too much pain to do
to
the workouts.
Yeah.
But that helped a lot. And then recently, acupuncture is now taking me to another level as well, but a good percentage of it is mindset.
All right. I'm going to give you a book. It's called Mind Body Connection. Read the book.
I will.
Maybe it pushes the dial a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. I'm to the point where I surprise myself. I don't notice I'm in the pain that I was in. So, huge difference.
And you're happier now.
I'm definitely much happier now, without a doubt.
I bet they're related.
Oh, exactly, which is why when you bring it up, it's, I would say 100%.
Yeah.
Yep, 100%.
Divorce sucks, though.
Yeah, that's two for me, so it's not a good running record.
You learn.
Yeah.
Well, are you ever going to do it again?
I don't think so.
No?
I don't have the intent to.
Right.
I never say never is also a thing you got to say in life, because I hate to be the one to say, nope, I'm never doing that, and then fast forward, and here I am. But
have you heard my marriage rant?
I have not.
I think it should be illegal, and I'm not joking.
Okay.
If you went to the bank, took all your money,
mm-hmm.
You have no choice but to marriage. You have no choice but to commit all your money. If you took every dime you have, put it in the bank, let it sit there for 10 years, and then the bank fails and you only get half your money back, the president of the bank would be in jail. Well, they don't arrest presidents of banks.
Correct.
You certainly wouldn't go to banks anymore.
No.
That's what I'm talking about, marriage as a legal entity. Right. I'm not talking about lifelong commitment and family.
Yep.
I'm talking about the legal entity of marriage should be illegal. It is a bet. The odds are actually against you getting all your money back. When you enter marriage, you're entering into, there's a 51% chance that you're not going to get all your money back.
Correct.
There's no investment like that anywhere that would be legal except the institution of marriage.
Correct. I agree.
200 years from now, well, we'll be robots in 200 years, but 150 years from now, where people will laugh at how we legally handled marriage.
I could agree with that.
Right?
I could agree with that. I definitely, you spend money on marriage on things that you probably wouldn't normally or shouldn't, but I don't think for me it ended up being a major financial deposit of sorts, it definitely, I'm a very big fan of the whole commitment thing and being in a good relationship, healthy, and I'd love to stay in a relationship the rest of my life with somebody, retire and enjoy life. And that's a great thing.
Right.
I don't know if I need paperwork for that. I think just
what does paperwork do?
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, I'm divorced too. Paperwork doesn't do.
No.
It doesn't do anything. But it's hard though. How do you handle money if you're I wouldn't know how to handle money in like a 10 or 15 year, 20 year relationship that we're not married.
Good thought process. I didn't know how to handle money in a 24 year relationship of marriage.
Fair enough.
I mean, we put our funds in one account in the beginning.
Right.
And that's the way it ran for the longest time. And, she was more of a financial person. So leave it up to her to take care of really how to plan, invest, and take care of the bills. And, that sounds like the old school method, right? The woman handles all the bills. And, the man just feeds the paychecks over. But we both had our incomes.
Because you're a musician, so you can...
I can't be trusted with money. I just bought a new guitar last week. I mean, I probably shouldn't. I went in for a tuner. I need a tuner. I left with a tuner, a guitar, and a wireless system. So I can't. No, I can't
What'd
be trusted with money. For a guitar?
Yeah.
I got a LTD, ESP LTD bass.
Oh, cool.
They're become my favorite. 10 years ago when I started, 10, almost 12 years ago, I started playing music again. So I took a very long break from early 20s till 40.
Right.
Kids, wife, life going on and whatnot. So when I got back in, I invested in one of those because it felt easy to play.
Mm.
And since I'm on three of them now. And
I was just about to ask how many.
It's my standard now.
Right. Why three?
That's a great question. Two was obviously to have a backup, right?
You're
going to have a backup bass. So that was the second investment. And I loved wood. So it was a really beautiful wood grain to it.
Mm.
And three was because I went to buy a tuner.
Yeah, fair enough. So here's the hip.
And I saw it and it was beautiful. And I picked it up and it played better than the other two. And I was like, okay, they gave me a good price. And out the door I went.
I'm a hypocrite because so I only play one type of guitar. It's a Takamine AN-10. It's not super expensive, but they're really rare. But they fit like if I had a custom guitar made, it just happens to fit me. So for the longest time I only had one, So, and that's not good when you're playing out because I really only had the one guitar. So during COVID, I used to do these Facebook live things just to play for people, just to keep my chops up and do it. And this guy DMs me on Facebook. He says, "Hey, I notice you're playing an AN-10. And I talk about like how much I love my guitar. And he's like, "I have one." And I'm like, "What's your number? Name your number." Because I don't have the – if somebody puts their foot through this, I'm fucked. So he goes, "Tell you what, I'm going to send it to you. You pay the shipping. I'm going to send it to you. And if you like it, then you can't tell me what you think." So I get it. I open it up. Thing's never been touched. And these guitars were discontinued 20 years ago.
Right.
Thing had never been played. Not a mark on it. And so I DM him. I'm like, "Name your number. This thing's a unicorn." And he's like, "You love him so much, just keep it." So now I have two, right? Which is great.
Great.
Now I'm set.
Yep.
Don't need a third. Fucking on this Takamine guitar group like 6 months ago. And they all know I love the guitar. And some guy mails me, "Hey, there's one for sale. You got to go." Someone go on Reverb. I'm like, fuck. So yeah. Now I have. So I'm the same.
So you got three.
Yeah.
Oh, I have. I mean, I have one of my original, I think it's an 83 BC Rich Eagle from when I was in high school.
Sweet.
I still have that. It's a little bit rough shape. I have a Epiphone.
You could fix it up, though. You got the hands.
I could. I don't know if I'm going to take the time for that.
Fair enough.
I have a different mindset with life now. Do less physical and things of that and do more life experiences.
How'd that come about?
My health last year and the year before. Not being able to do so much, I found I couldn't hike. I couldn't. I started playing music again. I was sitting in a chair for some of the gigs. I remodeled three houses in my entire life, and where are they?
Right.
You know, they're not here. They're not. The last one was my pride and joy. It came out beautiful, and I actually made some money on it. So that one was a bonus. The other two, not so much.
Mm.
I spent a lot of time working in my life, overtime for work, then coming home, working nights, weekends at my house, and not enough enjoyment, which is why the past couple of years I've really been enjoying playing again.
Right.
Unfortunately, that became quite busy, and between work being busy the past couple months and that, my schedule's been null and void to enjoy life. I picked up a camper this year. Haven't used it once. We haven't gone camping once. Picked up a small tow behind camper.
I want one.
I did too. I got it.
One of us is better at it.
I should rent it out. Yes. Because I haven't used it.
Do you? So we met at the James's Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what you're talking about with not doing physical shit. You did the work of like four guys that day.
I'm a very hands-on person. And I come from a little bit of old school. If nobody else is getting it done, then get it done. And I'm not saying that was the case there. It wasn't. But in general, I'm always one. And if it comes to good causes, especially for me, huge with mental health awareness, then it's all in. It's all in.
Why is that important?
Due to my own battles. You know, I think I don't know how young, but definitely since a teenager, you know, mid-teens till current today, have suffered from mental health, depression, anxiety.
What do you do for it?
Different times. Well, now I think the biggest thing I've done is just change mindset. That not get up with a negative attitude, not think negatively. I still have it a little bit. You know, I was a little bit not happy with the traffic this morning getting on 84. But I'm going to sit in it. I'm not going to lose my mind and honk the horn and punch the dashboard or just sit there and get frustrated. I'm going to get where I'm going when I get there. It's happened to me, but did I never not get somewhere because of it? Nope, I always got somewhere. Same thing with worries. When something goes wrong and you're lacking money, you're lacking this, how many times I've worried and stressed myself over something and lost sleep, and it all worked itself out. So I try to change my mindset more to be a little more positive.
That's good. And it's hard to do, though, man.
It is.
That's hard to do. Have you ever been diagnosed?
Yes. So I was diagnosed with depression officially when I was 28, I think it was.
Okay.
Prior to that, I knew I had issues of sorts. I knew I suffered from it, but I never did anything to it, nor did anybody. You know, I always walked around I'm a smiley person, easygoing, carefree, happy. Yeah. A lot of people would be like, "What do you mean you're depressed? You're always happy, always cracking a joke." It's all that disguise. Yep. It's all
I know
all
from
all
this.
The back. So yeah. Many people do.
Yeah.
When I was 28. When I was 18, I had an issue, and I was told that I had I wasn't an alcoholic, but I had alcohol dependency, is what they told me at that time. And that it wasn't a matter of I needed to drink all the time. I wanted to drink all the time.
Okay.
So, you know, I had my...
Self-medicating?
Self-medicating, absolutely, you know, right. Without a doubt.
Did you quit?
So, no, but... But
my
but,
man.
But hey, nobody likes a quitter. No. Right. when I had my 23rd birthday, I think it was, I woke up, you know, on my kitchen floor with vomit everywhere and nobody around. Mm-hmm. At that time, I had met my first ex-wife, and she had a 2.5-year-old child, and we were not engaged yet, but I was like, I got to change my, I got a child I'm involved with in my life now. It doesn't live with me, but involved with.
Right.
This can't be my path. My path was like that from 15 to about 23. Mm. And at that point, I quit the drugs and alcohol altogether. Would casually have a drink here and there, and I knew I didn't have a problem that I had to drink all the time. There was no, I didn't go through.
So
any
you
withdrawals.
Could have a drink.
Yeah, and I still can, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I still can to this day. I might Great. Have yeah, I might have one or two, probably one at the most a year bouts where, you know, I'll go to the Christmas party or something that's a good event, good wedding.
Yep.
And I get up the next day and I'm like, all right, I can feel a little bit, but yep. I don't, and I get a little buzz on here and there, but I do not.
But you manage it.
I don't abuse it, yeah.
Right.
I manage it fully, and literally I could go weeks without a drink, or I could have I like to have a beer with dinner.
Right.
I like my IPAs and And so I do well.
If I could drink IPAs, I would. I drink beer. For some reason, I fucking bloat like after like half a bottle. So I just don't do it anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
I love it.
Yeah. But I like bourbon. I started getting into bourbon a little bit this year. I always drank. I was always a Jack Daniel whiskey guy. Just
right.
Seems to be the straight up thing to do when you're a bass player in the 80s. So so I continue with that, and I still like it, but I started drinking different bourbons this year. But I could sit, and that's whiskey and bourbon. I could drink right on the rocks, right mm-hmm. out of the glass. No,
right.
I don't need a mixer. But
doesn't trigger you. You know, you can
no,
stop.
No, nothing triggers me. I could stop. You know, I was actually at one party, and I realized I you know, started slurring a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I put myself in check and went to the water. And within 2 hours, I had myself back in check. And I started drinking again, but casually.
Right.
Like I haven't had any instances where I've put myself in a position for I don't know how long where I've actually gotten sick from it or
right.
you know, had to be carried off somewhere.
Right. Right.
You know?
All right, but, so
yeah.
That's good.
That is. I'm not saying it's the right path for everyone. There's, you know, people that can't do that
and you just did it yourself. You didn't have help.
I didn't have any help other than the fact that it was just
right. It was just
my daughter. She's my daughter, and my oldest daughter, 2.5,
right.
And 34 now. So
they motivate you, right?
Yeah, you know, it's amazing. You're a 23-year-old kid that's just part. I mean, I had started a career already. Right out of high school, I swung a hammer. You know, I joined the Carpenters Union by the age of 20. Which, you know,
so
was going to give me a pension and annuity mm-hmm. going on in my life, right? This is all great things. So I had a mindset of responsibility. No matter how much I drank as a kid, I knew my dad gave me the speech. I got up and went to work.
Mm-hmm.
And there were days I went to work. I was pretty rough around the edges at that age, but I got up and went.
But you, at that age, you can.
I got up and functioned. Yep. Yeah, I couldn't have. No.
Yeah.
But yeah, that moment when I realized I love that little girl changed me.
Yeah. Yeah, me too, man. I get that.
So we all have our things that, you know, motivate you and I guess convince you to do better. But that was the one factor.
Yeah.
And ended up marrying her mother, adopted her when she was 4, and just talked to her 2 nights ago. So
beautiful. No, they can. Do you know my story with my daughter?
Not fully. No.
Oh, all right. So I get. Listen, you can fast forward if you've heard this before. Give me like a minute 15. So
put you on the clock.
There you go. So I got I went buck nut crazy. I mean, sit in your underwear waiting for the aliens, crazy. Got diagnosed with everything: schizophrenia, manic depression, bipolar, fucking name it. Get 7 different medications to take. One of the medications, and they start counterindicating. One of the medications is lithium. So for some people, and me, lithium is toxic, so some bodies process it and it becomes poison. So the drug I'm taking so I don't kill myself is actually the one killing me. And I can feel it. But so I make the decision that I'm gonna kill myself. But I'm going to do it clean. I'm not going to do it on these drugs. So I tell everybody in my life, I'm going cold turkey. I can't do these drugs anymore. And they're like, you're crazy. And I'm like, yes, but I said these drugs aren't right. Going to work for me. So, but I was so nuts. Like, nobody wanted to be part of that shit show. Like, nobody except my daughter. So, and then Trish checked in and out every once in a while, but she moved out because she's like, this is going to blow up and I can't watch it. I'll be there on the sidelines, but I can't watch it. And I'd given her a bunch of good reasons to do that anyway.
Sure.
So, but my daughter says, so I get a house and my daughter says, I'm going to spend the summer with you and I'm going to help you detox. She's 7 years old. So I'm like, okay, this is going to be rough. So I make a plan. I'm like, I'm going to do this, and then when my daughter goes back to school, I'm going to take my life. Because I was also facing 350 years in jail at the time. And I'm like, I can't put my family through that. That's just torture. And, you know, that's all anybody will talk to them about. And, you know, Grand Rossi will always be the kid whose dad died in prison and blah, 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 blah. So, I figure when she's back in school, I'll be able to, she'll have like a support system around her and it'll take some of this thing out. So I start detoxing and it's hell. It is draped in towels that have to be changed every half hour because I went cold turkey like an asshole. Can't eat, can't blah, 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 throwing up, all shit. And my 7-year-old daughter makes me a sandwich, goes and gets new towels, sits by me all day. Finally, I get to the point where I can like stand up and walk a little bit. She gets me outside and we're out walking in the yard and she starts making up stories and walking me in a circle because she knows I won't interrupt one of her made up stories.
Okay.
But she's tricking me. She's tricking me to walk around. So I get a little bit better. She starts calling. She calls my sister, says, you got to come see him. This isn't right. The 7-year-old girl, she makes every meal. She cleans the house, 7 years old. Finally, it's the end of the summer, and I'm feeling kind of strong. And I'm like, all right, you got to go back to school. And where Trish was living is closer to the school. And so you need to go. And I had the plan to kill myself. And I'm one day away from it. And because I had the day, and I knew what I was going to do.
That's how it works.
Well, you know from this?
Oh, I've planned.
Oh, okay. So I'm ready to do it. And all of a sudden, it dawns on me. If I do this, not the lesson that my daughter will carry for the rest of her life is no matter how hard I work, it's not going to work. And I'm like, and I can't do that to her. So I decided not to and then fought my way through it. But that I was a day away and she saved my life. So
I get that.
When you planned?
Last year.
Last year.
I was trying to pick a date because the pain I had in my body was so bad. I lost my job. I couldn't work. I could hardly get up and move. And then I was not doing myself any justice by sitting.
Right.
I would sit because that's what I could do. And I'd just watch TV and whatnot. My days just went by like one after the other with nothing to really feel positive or good about. And
right.
I got to a point, I was like, if I can't correct this problem and get some relief. I don't need to be fully pain relief. I've had pain throughout my life with my back, my knees, you know, whatever. I can deal with pain.
Right.
But to this level, if I can't get this in check by this time in my life, then I'm probably punching out. Mm. And thankfully, it started to correct itself before I got to that time frame. I didn't actually have the set date, but I started thinking about, well, it can't be this date because that's too close to somebody's birthday. And it can't be this date because it's too close to a holiday.
Right.
And that's kind of scary when you realize you're putting as much thought into that, you know, as well as the means and methods you're going to use.
Yep.
Just when you start thinking to that extent, it's a little eye-opening, you know? And, you know.
And, but it did you find, too, that thinking about it brought some relief, though?
You know, yeah, you know, and I think some of it is, you know, I probably spent a lot more time crying last year than I have in I don't know how long, maybe possibly my entire life.
Wow.
I would say. It just seemed like it was regularly, you know.
From the pain or?
No, more from the mental aspect, I think, than the pain, both the pain and the mental, you know.
Right.
Trying to get comfortable, couldn't sleep at night at all, pillows under my knees to keep my body from rolling over and hurting myself, trying to sleep upright on a couch, which I can't even do when I'm feeling healthy at this point in life. I'm not 18-year-old me. I could just, you know, pass out in a chair and be good with 3 hours sleep and function.
Right.
So, yeah, a multitude of things, but, you know, it's a rough place to be in.
Was there an emotional component to it, too, or was it just weary from getting the shit beat out of you every day?
I mean, it was, you know, weary from getting the shit beat out of me every day, lack of sleep, back pain, you know. Failed relationship, you know, just the list just goes down the line.
Did you tell anybody about it?
I think I had mentioned it one day. I had mentioned, said something to my ex casually about it. Not casually, I was probably having a mental breakdown of some sort. I know it was definitely emotional, and it was so I did that, and then I had casually mentioned it in joke, in jest, I think, and my oldest daughter, who has had her share of bouts with it, and as a nurse, gave me a dirty look, but no, I didn't really. I didn't reach out to any of my friends or any close family or anybody and really talk about it
because you can't.
You know what? But you should.
Yeah, but you can't. That's correct. That's part of the insidiousness of the disease. Is the answer? People who don't suffer look at it and go, just pick up the phone. But when you're in the middle of it.
You're not picking up the phone.
You're not picking up.
You don't want to pick up the phone.
Right, right. The phone's an elephant. Right. You can't lift.
Right.
Yeah, so it always amazes me. Not amazes me. I understand it a little bit, but it pisses me off when people are like, you know, it's selfish. It's not selfish to want to end your own pain.
You know what? And we were brought up that way. So when I was a kid, it was – I remember – I forget who it was. There was somebody that I know that killed themselves. I didn't know them personally, but it's like outside of our family and whatnot.
Right.
And everybody kept going how selfish it was that, you know, they did this and, you know, they left their kids and their wife behind and everything else. And, okay, if you look at it to some extent, I can see that it's a bad thing. It's a bad thing that happened, and it's a bad thing that they're left without a parent and a spouse and all this. But – It's not selfish.
It's not.
It's not. And I think people are. I think it was more of a guilt method to get people to not do it or think away from it. But it's not a correct means or method to get somebody to think this isn't the way to go.
Right.
To me, I just would. I would think worse that now I'm being selfish. I don't know.
No, I hate when people think selfish. And I hate when people think too that these answers that are so easy to you because you're not suffering from it.
It's like that with many things in the world, not just like it's like that with love, relationships, anything. They're like, well, this is a simple solve. I do it myself with other things. I'm like, you know, and I try not to. I don't want to lecture anybody, and not when I'm talking about, you know, mental health or anything, but just anything in general. It's like, to me, this is a simple solution. But that's my mind frame and my mindset, and other people, like, you know, I've hear problems from friends and whatnot now, and I'm like, you know, they're talking about something. I'm like, that seems like stupid to me. Like,
right.
It's whatever. It's just whatever that is. I can't rationalize that being a problem in my life ever. That's a simple resolve for me. But in my mind, I now go, yeah, but for that person, it's not a simple resolve. For that person, it's a problem.
Right.
And I don't need to be able to relate to it, but it's good for me to accept that that's a problem for that person and try to be there in support for that person. If they need it.
Yeah. Well, it is a unique wisdom that somebody who was suicidal and got over it has. Because most people, it might be the same type of wisdom, like people have like near-death experience and then come back and you see things differently. To me, it's that same thing with near-suicidal. When you get broke like that, your level of sympathy for other people's problems and your kindness and your generosity and your empathy, it all changes.
Without a doubt. This round it did for me. Mind you, I attempted at 15.
Oh, you did?
And I wouldn't consider my 28-year-old incident as an attempt, but it was pretty damn close.
What was that?
So I stood on the highest part of the Newburgh Beacon Bridge. 4th of July weekend, and was going off.
But you wouldn't consider that an attempt?
I
That's pretty close to an attempt.
It's very close to an attempt. I mean, I'm not trying to laugh about it, but I didn't jump.
Right.
So, I mean, if I jumped, to me, that would be the attempt. I had intent. Mm. I had deep intent. And that one, I think the only thing that saved me was, you know, you don't realize what your mind does sometimes when you're in trauma.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to block traffic on the bridge with my vehicle. So I parked off the bridge and walked out onto it to do that. And that gave me, I feel, time to think.
Right.
Contemplate. Slow it down. So that helped me at that point.
Man, that's amazing.
So that was you know, right after my first divorce. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not going to be living with my kids anymore. Failed marriage. I don't even like the word failed marriage. Both of my marriages did not work out, but both of them were successful. I had children with the first one that have now given me grandchildren, and I have great relationship with them, love them all, and that is a huge success.
Beautiful.
And my second marriage, we had a good relationship it was a long marriage. The first one, very young, very, a mistake.
Right.
But my second marriage was, we were together almost 24 years. Mm. So that's no just drop in a hat for amount of time frame.
That's amazing, yeah.
We've had our share of problems throughout that time, and people grow apart, things change, it didn't work out. But there was a very happy time in there, a lot of years of happiness and good.
Mm.
So I don't think that was necessarily failed either.
Right.
But
man, so 15 and 28.
And in 15, I tried to overdose, and then...
on purpose?
Yeah. At 15, grew up in a lot of people don't know, I was bullied, picked on a lot in school, you know, from sixth grade up until probably, I'd say 11th.
Wow.
10th or 11th. Yeah. That took its toll on me. My family had moved from one place to another at 12. Right. So I had to get a whole new adjustment to life and a new set of friends. And, you know, there's always those teen pressures everybody feels that when you get older, you realize it's really not.
Right, but you got a teen brain.
Correct.
So,
correct.
Yeah, so, but bullying is serious because, you know, it's not just hurt feelings. It's hurt feelings in a 15-year-old brain.
I got both physically and mentally.
Oh, really?
Bullied. Oh, yeah. I had kids in my junior high and high school that would physically hit me. Yeah.
You hit back?
I wasn't very big back then. Mm. No, there came a point when I got a little older that I hit back, and I think maybe that was probably the line when people saw that, you know, I could kind of go off the deep end, and when I hit back, it's not just one hit.
Okay.
That maybe they shouldn't fuck with me anymore.
You sent a message.
I didn't want to, but I think it was just enough's enough, and
right.
I lost
no,
my
you snap,
cool.
Yeah.
I lost my cool.
Yeah. I did that one time, too. Yeah, I get that, yeah.
But,
and then... So you've been on you've been to the tipping point a couple times.
Yeah. Yep.
Man, do you
now? Mind you, my kids know nothing about my 15-year-old. My first ex-wife, I don't believe does. I'm not sure if I told my second ex-wife at all on that one. Some of my closest friends, you know, I play in a band with my guitar player is my best friend since I was 17. He doesn't know that I know of. Maybe I did mention him when we were younger.
Right.
I don't recall. It's something I didn't really talk about much.
We don't have to broadcast the show if you don't want.
Oh, no.
No, I'm just kidding.
I have no qualms of it. Maybe somebody can hear something and maybe it can help them.
That's about that's what I was just about
to say. And maybe it can help them not do something. Maybe it can help them realize they're not the only person that has fucked up shit going on in their life that they can then work through and get to a better point.
Yeah. No, I mean, the whole show is predicated on me being fucking crazy. So, but what I have found is, like, the reception is not at all what I anticipated. It's like I started a Me Too movement because now everybody's like, oh wait, you're Me Too. Like, dude, more people than I ever dreamed of have come up to me and said, or written me, most right. And said, like, you know, me too. I've been there. I get it. Or I'm in the thick of it. And even people like you that come on and are willing to share. For every one of you that's willing to share, there's 300 that are just in the fucking stew. And just if they hear, wait, there's a way out of the stew.
Right.
Greg made it out. Okay, maybe I can make it out.
Well, I'm out today. you got to keep your mindset on, I might not be out tomorrow. And try and keep thinking ahead, you know.
I don't know
if this past year if I would have, because I promised myself after my 28-year-old incident that, you know, with my kids and whatnot, I never would do anything like that.
Right.
So I don't know if I would have last year, but the mindset was there. The thoughts were there. And it was pretty real considering.
Right.
And I was at a low point.
Yeah. No, I say it differently than you, but we say the exact same thing. I say I have a chronic condition that if I don't treat it every single fucking day.
It doesn't go away.
It doesn't go away.
It never go away.
Right. But there's ways to learn to live with it.
Yep.
And I find ritual helps a lot. Like I like fucking get up at 3 o'clock in the morning. And
I see that, yeah.
Yeah. But it worked. It works for me, so.
And it's great.
That's what you got to find.
And that could work for somebody else.
Yeah. Yeah.
It might not work for me.
Right.
It might not work for others, but it'll work for somebody. It'll help somebody.
What do you find works for you?
The bourbon. No, I'm just kidding. For me, music.
Today on Home From Here, we teach you to avoid depression by drinking.
The music's been a big help for me. I think personal success is a good term. And success, I was just having a conversation with somebody the other day about being successful. It doesn't mean you have the best paying job in the world and you have all this money in the bank and you have all these luxuries. It's measured. You can only measure your success.
Right.
And for me, to be where I was last year, dipping into my personal savings, going downhill, no job, divorced, now finding a place to rent. You want to try and find somebody, you know, the way the world works today. First of all, rents are outrageous.
Right.
Right. And then it's like, okay, well, you need your first month and you need your last month.
Right.
You need, good credit score and you need references and,
right.
and you need, you need pay stubs.
Right.
I'm out of work for months.
Right.
You need pay stubs. So for me, fortunately, found a place on Facebook Marketplace. The guy hits me back and says, I noticed I'm friends with a friend of yours on Facebook. And he happened to be friends with my drummer.
Oh, okay.
And he hit him up and the drummer gave him the rundown, said he's a great guy. You know, he's good, this, that, that. And I went and met with him. And he's like, I know you don't have a job and you're highly recommended by this person. And, the place is yours if you want it.
Oh, wow.
So I took the place even before, like, I was going to move out. Because I know I wasn't going to find a place.
Right.
I know nobody's going to – I don't have 3-4 weeks of paychecks.
Right.
I have no paychecks. I have unemployment checks maybe or, whatever.
Right.
I couldn't collect disability at the time. I got nothing.
Mm.
I had a halfway healthy bank account at least.
Right.
So that wasn't too bad, but so yeah,
that was cool of that guy.
So that was great, and then that was the beginning because my back was just starting to get in check at that point a little bit. Not great, but enough to where I could function.
Right.
And then I had been trying to find another job in construction management, supervision, anything of that sort, because I have 10 years prior experience in that as well over the years.
Yeah, sure.
And nobody's hiring, resume looks good, and we're just work slow.
Yep.
So that was the first step, and the health was coming around. Then that. And then I ended up nailing a really good job. Been with that company for a year now. Love them.
Amazing.
They treat me well. So you look at, early last year, mid last year, I have no job. My marriage is done. The house I just finished 6 years busting my ass working on is going to be sold off. And, look at all the downside of things. And then you fast forward a year and I have a very good job with a company that treats me excellent. I got a lot of work hours, so I'm not going to say I love my work hours right now, but they'll calm down.
Right.
My landlord's been great to me.
That's awesome.
I started, my band really took off, and although I'm stepping down from it this year, my band is doing awesome. And, we went from not playing hardly at all to, 19 gigs last year, 38 this year, and probably next year they'll probably be doing in the 50s.
Right.
That'd be my guess.
You going to go hear him?
Yeah, I will go hear him. My best friend's a guitar player.
Why? Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Got to go hear him. It's – so for me, that's – I feel like I have a success story in the past year.
You do.
And I'm also in an excellent relationship, which
with
is –
with a crazy lady.
All right. Well, crazy attracts crazy, John.
Oh, you make a good point. You make a good point. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the other morning we got up and Alexa played Christmas music. And we had Christmas music going for a solid hour in the morning.
Nice, Don.
Yeah. Nice. And it really. And you know what? Normally, to me, that'd be like, are you kidding me? But I just, it's just something about it. It's great.
Yeah.
It's a good crazy.
No, she's wonderful crazy. Oh,
she's an incredibly wonderful human.
Super, super lady. Super,
yeah. So that's been going excellent for both of us.
That's fantastic.
Considering, I know she didn't even want to date anybody ever again. And I wasn't sure where I was at, but I was still hopeful I could find somebody.
Right.
To be happy with throughout my remaining years.
She's a good pick, man. I like that lady a lot.
She's a great pick.
Yeah.
Especially in today's world of dating is a little bit.
I wouldn't even know.
Oh, you don't want to.
Yeah.
You don't want to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Trish and I are together 25 years now.
Yeah.
That's craziness.
Yeah.
I've been with that woman half her life because she's 50. That's insane.
Yeah.
If you had said, it's funny how, because if you had said to me, you're going to be with the same person for 25 years, I would have, you're out of your mind.
Now, my friends didn't have me picked for living past 30 when I was 18, 20. 20.
Well, yeah. Right. Didn't have you picked for living past 30.
I didn't really concern me. And now at this point, I'm like, no, I'm good. I'm on a.
It's funny, too. The other thing that people like us experience is a different appreciation for a future. Because when you're in the shit, there's no future.
No.
You'd think, all right.
There's just either more shit or the end.
Right, right. That's exactly what you got. Right, right. And now, and like, people take future for granted. I don't take future for granted. I'm in kind of the same place you are. Like, okay, I can see 5 years out now, where when you're in the shit,
right,
you're trying to see 5 minutes out. And it's a real gift to be able to see 5 years out.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm hoping to see 5 years out from my retirement, but I'm also not waiting for my retirement to live a little.
Right.
I watched my father retire at 65, and by 68, he had a brainstem stroke, and he wanted to do some stuff in life, and he never got to do it.
Right.
And he made his way to 84, and between 68 and 84 was not a great life.
Right.
I don't want that for me, so, you know, I might be delving a little bit into, you know, like buying a bass guitar and doing a few too many concerts and vacations this year and whatnot. But while I can move and my back's not in bad shape, I'm doing.
Do it. What are you going to do musically now?
That's a good question. I don't know yet. I want to do more writing. I don't know what it is. I started writing some stuff this year, and some stuff's just on paper. I have some chords recorded that I want to do something with, and I haven't taken the time to do much with it. So I'd like to do something more with that aspect of it.
Go play on your own?
I'll probably look to see if there's any bands that are in the area that are looking for a bass player at all this coming year, and find something to jump in.
Or take you 4 minutes.
Yeah, I know a couple other musicians that that aren't doing anything right now that I could hit up to. But right now it's finish this year out. I got about 7 gigs left this year. Finish this year out with this, and then figure it out from there.
When you write, I always ask everybody who writes songs. When you write songs, where does it come from? Is it a gift from the sky? Does it come from you? Does it come from a muse? Where does it come from?
It comes from me.
It comes from you.
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah, it comes from, you know, I have a history of very depressing songs, you know.
Yeah, me too, man.
You know, and I also have some happier songs. So it's whatever, I think whatever I'm feeling at the moment, which is why I think this year I started writing a little bit more, because what I'm writing now is positive.
Mm.
You know,
what comes first, music or words?
It's hard to say. It used to be all words. It used to be lyrics. I used to, you know, back when I was in high school and out, my two closest friends that are guitar players would be writing music, and I'd be writing a lot of lyrics.
Mm.
Now it's stemmed into I just start strumming a couple chords, hum a little bit to get what I want to feel, and then come up with words. Once in a while I'm driving along, I'll say something, and two words or three words will come out of my mouth, and I'll be like, I like the flow, and I just hit record on my phone and I'll say it, so I don't forget it, because I forget it.
Oh, carrying two notebooks now, that's forgetting.
Right. So I used to keep a notepad on the side of my dresser, which is funny, because I actually found that last year when I moved, and I had stuff from when I was even in poems, songs, things I wrote that I never did anything with from when I was teens up, and reading some of that was a little dark. I think most of it comes from life experiences.
What kind of guitar you play?
I have a Taylor, not an American made one, because I don't have the $1,400 to $1,600 to buy that. Yeah. But
you don't need an American made Taylor.
I went to the music store. So I actually have my Alvarez, which was my parents got for me when I was 16.
And so you still have it?
I still have my Alvarez at home. It doesn't play great, but I have it.
Okay.
And that was my acoustic I had for forever. And then how many years ago? I want to say maybe 7 years ago, 6 years ago, 6 years ago probably. I went to the music store and I was looking at, I can't even remember what brand it was, but it was about a $300, $350 guitar. And that's all I really wanted to spend budget-wise.
Right.
And I was playing a bunch in the music store. And he's like, you know, you should try this one. He goes, I'm not trying to oversell you. He goes, this one's, you know, a little more money. It's like $600. But he goes, just get a feel. And I picked it up. I'm like, damn.
Damn this.
I can't play guitar great. This helps me.
Right.
Like, to be able to, even with the bass I just picked up, I'm playing some bass lines that I would mess up, but it's just so smooth.
Mm.
So I picked it up and I played and I fell in love with it. And I bought more than I wanted to. And I'm content. I love that.
It'll guitar. Yeah, but I mean, it's a $300 hit that day, but now you're like, how much better?
Exactly.
Yeah. I learned on a 12 string.
Okay.
Well, I learned on a classical, but I then, like in high school, I got a 12 string, and I played 12 string for like ever. And that guitar, I loved that guitar. And one day, had a friend over to the house, and their kid put their foot through it to the point where it couldn't be fixed. And you can't get mad at a kid for that, but I was like, so I don't have like my childhood guitar like you.
Yeah, this was the second one. My first one I bought on my own was a Cort. You're familiar with the old Cort brands.
Yep,
it's just, you know, not really a very bottom end guitar. That was my first acoustic, and then this was the second one.
That's not Alvarez. The one you want to play out with.
No, no, this is the Alvarez. And,
right.
And, it's one of those things I just held on to because it was my first guitar.
Right. But would you ever play out on your own? Just grab a guitar and...
You know what? I have... So people talk about... I won't call it a regret, but people say, you know, do you have regrets in life? I wish when I was younger, I tried to sing more in my youth bands, and I wish I worked on guitar more. And I'm doing it now more, so it's not. There's never too late.
Yes.
So I am playing more guitar now, and I am trying to sing more. I think about how great that would be, is if I could just go out and just sit in a tiny little pub and play my guitar and sing and be able to make a few bucks and not have to lump all this fucking gear up and downstairs somewhere and deal with it.
It is nice.
So that's a nice feature.
It is nice.
So I don't think that'll be in my future, but.
I don't know.
I'm not going to say never say never, but
I'm older than you. I bet I'm 61.
You are
okay.
Yeah.
I sing and play it better now than I ever have. So it's
I
not
do
a,
as well.
Yeah, it's not. But so it's not an age issue. So you shouldn't limit yourself. And I got one singing lesson from Cher. I'll tell it to you off air.
I think I've got three with her now.
Oh, you're working with her?
I have, yeah. I have taken a break now because I'm out of time.
Right, right.
And just in a few lessons.
Oh, then you're in.
She approved me. She
got my voice where I wanted it to be in a minute and a half.
The way she explains things, like I'm a very visual person, and I'm a very
carpenter.
Dumb it down for me. It's a huge, like, to explain it to me simply as you can. I'm not a brain surgeon here.
Right.
She breaks it down very easy to understand for me.
Right.
And I've been working a little bit more on it. And unfortunately, between work, this band,
to come do this fucking show. Who's got time to?
Well, this is a bad. I'm going to work night now because I'm working night shift. So that's what's really screwing my life up right now.
Right, right.
You know,
that sucks for the relationship.
It does. Yeah. You know.
But how long? The night shifts aren't going to be long, though, right?
We're on 2 months now. I was hoping it was a month, and it just keeps steamrolling. We should be wrapped up after next week with the worst of it.
Okay.
And I'll go back to days.
It's great that doesn't mess up your head, because sleep cycle is so important, too.
Thankfully, it's second shift, so we're wrapping up like 10:30, 11 at night.
Okay.
I could get into bed by midnight.
Oh, all right. Then.
So the problem is, you know, with the whole same thing, you're trying to keep your relationship healthy.
Right.
You know, so I've been, you know, living with her for the past few weeks because otherwise we don't see each other all week.
Right.
So I'll get up in the morning, you know, 6:30 in the morning, and we'll sit down and we'll have some breakfast and coffee and joke a little bit before she goes to work.
That's a slippery slope, man.
And then
living with somebody for 2 weeks and then trying not to live with them again.
So it's I wouldn't say it's a slippery slope. I think we're going down that road already.
Oh, you are.
Oh, we're going to go down that road.
Yeah. Oh, awesome.
It's not right. Right this minute,
right?
Or I guess it is, but
I was gonna say,
right now it's really just so we can see each other more and spend more time together.
Right,
and fortunately, that's been actually going well for this period of time, you know?
Beautiful. This tattoo, what's that mean on your arm?
So my last name's Na.
Okay.
So this is the Chinese symbol for strength.
Okay, cool.
And so it's N-O-T-T. So I took the components. I took the components of it and changed the letters down to
very cool
to do that. So
did that hurt? I'm asking for a reason.
That wasn't as bad as this, John.
Well, that's beautiful, though.
So this, this
listener, he's got a sleeve. I'm wait. I got to take a picture because
this is going to be
anyway.
This is going to be this coming year.
Why? You don't like the way it looks?
No, this is going to stay. But the rest of this, I've got a couple oldies here that are.
Oh man, beautiful.
Yeah.
I could never do a sleeve, but I'm getting my first.
I didn't think I wanted this since I was like 20. Like,
oh, really?
My friends all know, but at 20, you don't have a budget for it.
Right. Yeah.
So not that I have a budget for it now because this went like well over what I intended it to be a budget, but
right.
It is what it is.
That's beautiful.
How
much did this hurt?
In here?
Yeah.
That hurt a lot there.
Fuck.
Yeah.
That's because what I want to do is get it right there.
Yeah. But this here was horrible.
Oof.
This here was awful.
Oof.
And it was, and even, yeah, down here was a little bit rough. I mean, it's amazing. In here wasn't easy. Like, there's quite a few spots when he was hitting. I'm like, I didn't expect that to be that rough. You know, the meat in here, not too bad.
You hear about people that get put under to get tattoos?
I haven't, no.
Yeah, there's people that get put under to get, like, to get a sleeve.
Right.
Like, so you just get put under for 8 hours and you just go at it. I think if you get put under to get a tattoo, you shouldn't have a tattoo.
I agree.
That should be.
Everything here is 4-hour runs.
There you go. So, of pain.
Well, the first couple were hand drawing, hour and a half, and then tracing outlines.
Right.
And then then at the end when it was all, you know, shading and coloring was all 4 hours of nothing but going.
Oof. I would drink bourbon during that.
I needed it last year when I was doing this. I think that, you know, and I did it through my back pain, so sometimes I had to lay on my stomach.
Oh.
So we had to do. When I come in, I can lay on my stomach today. All right, we're doing the underside of your arm.
And okay.
I can't, we'd do the other, but.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I'm happy you're happy, man. That's awesome.
I'm happy.
Yeah. And thank you for telling the story, man.
Yeah, thank you for having me on.
You will be amazed at how many people come to you now and say, man, that was a brave thing and it helped me.
I'm not worried about people coming to me. I'm hoping somebody hears it and it helps them.
Yeah.
It
will.
And I'm hoping I don't shock my kids too much.
And
I don't think I will because they know I'm a little crazy, like to sorts with my life and they know I've done some stuff in life, but I hope they don't.
Well, it's kind of doing this is kind of the same problem that James's Warriors has, which is the people that you help, you probably never hear from.
Perfect. I'm just hopeful that something can come of it.
Oh, it will.
Right.
So for every one person that you actually hear, hey, I got so moved by your show, thank you, whatever, there's 100 that don't know you well enough to tell you or just aren't the type to tell a stranger, hey, you know, this moved the needle for me or whatever. But
right.
But they're out there.
Yeah.
They're out there. So you did good work, brother. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
No, my pleasure, man.
All right.
I want to plug anything?
No, I got nothing worth plugging right now.
That's a life well lived.
I mean, you know, I'm good. I'm good.
All right.
Appreciate it. I mean, like I said, follow suit and go online and follow us.
Beautiful.
www.followsuitband.com, I believe it is.
Okay.
If you just do a search on Google for Follow Suit Band, everything pops up on the first page. We got Facebook. We got Instagram. We got the website. Outstanding musicians, outstanding people, outstanding band, wide variety of music from rock, pop, dance, 80s stuff up to current stuff, a little bit of country. It's just a good wide mix of fun music.
No, I've heard you. You guys are really good.
Thank you.
The band is tight.
The band is tight.
Thanks for doing this, man.
All right, thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Good?
Good.
Comfortable?
Yeah.
Beautiful, man. You crushed. You're natural at this.